upon, okay, we wait upon this whole month to celebrate and to remember the coming of our Lord Jesus, the incarnation, and what a wonderful season. Please, please, don't be distracted by the commercials, by the marketing schemes that try to lure you into the stores. Think about this month. Think about the Lord Jesus came to this world to save us. Earlier on, we had the Hotel Bethlehem. It was such a wonderful presentation. My heart was distracted. I forgot what I was going to preach. But then the worship team bring us back to the Lord Jesus, to worship him, to honor him in our lives. So I'm trusting God will give me back the message so I can present to you. Today I want to ask you a very hard question. And that is, do you have any social responsibility? You know, this year our church theme was growing mature, first as personal individual, second as the body of Christ in the church, and thirdly, growing mature as a Christian family. All of this. Now this is the fourth quarter, and what is our theme for this fourth quarter? Growing mature in a social witness sense. So I'm obliged to have to preach on this subject. So I want to ask you, do you have any social responsibility? If you're like most people, they said, oh, I'm responsible for myself only. I don't have any responsibility for other people. Some more honorable people would say, oh, I'm responsible for my family, my wife and my kids, and maybe even my aging parents. If you are like that, I want to ask you, is this enough for being a Christian? Does Christian have more responsibility than those alone? Well, it's a hard question. It's a tough question, because in this day and age, we're so busy, with so many obligations, work, home, and not the least, entertainment. All of this distract us. But being a Christian, we should have more. We should do more for our world. I want to tell you about a Chinese philosopher. How many of you have heard about Confucius? Oh yeah, wow. How about Mencius? Mencius, his student, right? Confucius and Mencius had this philosophy. And it says, okay, thank you. 修身齐家治国平天下. This is the sequence. What does it mean? To develop first a virtuous self, 修身, a virtuous self, yourself. And then it goes to managing your household, your own family. Projecting that later on, if you are able to do a good job there, you can govern the kingdom and make peace for the whole world. This is indeed a very noble, noble thought. And very few are able to achieve it. I tell you, well, if you look back, this is a Confucius statue. I tell you, if you review a little bit of Chinese history throughout thousands of years, it's full of wars. It's full of deception, murder, full of misery. And all of this is very contrast to Confucius' theory of man's behavior. And if you say, okay, that's China, that's Chinese history, do you think that European history is much better? No. Nowhere. Men are not able to find a good solution of their relationship with one another. Even within one country, there's so much difficulty, so much war, so much fighting inside. But what about being Christians? You and I, should we have something much better? Well, 1500 BC, in the time of Moses, God intervened. God gave Moses 10 commandments. I'm sure you cannot read the 10 commandments here in the Hebrew language, but the 10 commandments are supposed to give to the people so that they are able to manage themselves, obey the 10 commandments, and then you'll have peace. If you know Jewish history, you know that they are not able to obey the 10 commandments. Again and again and again, they violated the 10 commandments. Well, there was a later on, about 700-800 years later, there was a prophet called Micah. Micah boiled down the 10 commandments to 3 easy ones, simpler ones. And Micah 6:8 recorded this here. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? These three, the three things. But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Justice, kindness, and humbly walk. So these are the three around 700 BC, before Christ came. These are the one that Micah called out to the people and said, this is what the Lord wants for you to do. Did they do it? Well, the answer again is no. Answer again is no. 700 years later, Christ was born in Bethlehem. And when he grew up to be about 30 years old, he preached and he taught the people. And he boiled down these three down to 2. And you read this verse earlier, similar to this verse. You shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. Love God with all of your soul. And then the second one is like it. The second one governs our relationship with one another. It says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is a commandment many of us have memorized in our heart. First, we love our God with everything we got. We love him with all we got. That's a vertical relationship with God. Then the horizontal relationship is one just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is what Jesus taught us. Is it easier? Are we able to follow this? Well, it's a tough question. If we follow this, we would have fulfilled God's law. We will have fulfilled what He wanted us to do. Well, let's go back to our story on the Samaritan story. This story is a good illustration as to whether we are able to fulfill God's law or not. How we are able? Jesus told a parable. Jesus is an expert storyteller, and he tells something that people can really identify with, really understand. And he told this parable. And we read earlier in our scripture reading. So I recap for you. Jesus' parable is meant for us to understand and follow exactly. The first part of this parable in Luke 10:31. By chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The first character we see is in verse 31. He was a priest. A priest passed by. Now, I'm doing a little imagination here. The priest, he was going down the road, and he saw this man wounded, half naked, and half dead. He thought in his mind, I have a meeting to go to. They're going to plan next year's budget. They're waiting for me. And if I didn't show up, that would not be good. I have no time for this. Well, let me go away. So he walked on. Think about what he was doing. He's considering the work of God as a duty that he fulfills. He is looking at the situation. He's not able to fit into my schedule. I don't have time. I must go to that meeting. Well, God's work is never done like this. When God touches your heart, when God makes you see a need, identify a need, a problem, it's then that God speaks to you. And God is touching your heart because it has touched God's heart already. God is busy working already. He just wanted you to be a part of it. He just wanted you to be His hand to heal, His hand to help. He just wanted you to work through you. But this priest didn't understand that. He was just considering his everyday duty, like some of us come to church every Sunday or go to prayer meeting even. It's part of our duty, but it's not our duty. It is what God wants us to do, and we please Him. And with all of our heart, with all of our soul. The second one came along. Another person came along. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. This is Levite. The Levite came along. You know what the Levites do? I'm not supposed to walk around. Huh? Okay, I'll stay put. Thank you. The Levite is the one who observed the law of Moses. They memorize every bit of it. They know the law inside out, upside down. And if anybody changes the law a little bit, they'll be very upset. They don't want to go away anywhere except to live according to the law. And you know, some of the laws are very strict. You're not supposed to touch unclean things, dead bodies, dead animals. You're not supposed to touch that. Well, when the Levite came by, and he said, "Wow, that man is almost dead. I better not get near there. I'll be in trouble." So he walks on the other side, passed by. You know what he did? He stick to the law. Is Christianity a sticker to the law? No. Being a Christian is not to know a set of rules and follow them exactly. There are some good rules for our life, yes. But if we're only confined to the rules, then we have no eyes for anything else. We have no time for anything else. And we have a tunnel vision. So being a Christian, you should respond to God's call. Respond to what God wants you to do. And do it at any cost, even if it costs you a lot. So these are not the right way to respond to a neighbor. If the whole world is like the Levites and the priests, then it would be really a miserable place to be. Well, here comes the central character. Here comes the main character of this parable, the Samaritan. The Samaritans. Can you read? Can you read with me? I think it's worth reading it again. Okay, together. "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound him his wounds, poured oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took..." Yeah, he went... Thank you. Thank you. Well, here comes the Samaritan. He was riding on his transportation. Not a car, but the donkey. But even the donkey, I saw some movie before, Chinese movie, with people riding donkey. They can be pretty fast. The donkey can be slow, but if you whip them a little bit, they can go real fast. The donkey, the transportation came to, he could have passed by, go through, and disappear. But he didn't. He saw the situation, and his heart was touched. So he came down and looked at this guy. There was no bandages. He probably tore off a piece of his cloth, his clothes. And there was no Neosporin or antiseptic. So what you did was the next best thing, oil and wine. Those are similar to Neosporin, aren't they? But in those days, they are very good medicine. And he bound the man, and he called an ambulance. The ambulance was his donkey. They put him on the donkey, and they went to the hospital. Where? No hospitals. They went to the inn. And there, he took care of this man. This is a remarkable man. And he's done some remarkable things. And he has some remarkable qualities. It is worthwhile for us to look at his qualities, because these are the qualities what God wants us to have. This is the Goose Martin. The three qualities I want you to remember: generosity, magnanimity, and sincerity. These are all three very easy words, aren't they? All ITs, ITs, all ITs. Generosity, magnanimity, and sincerity. Let's go and look at generosity, the first part. He gave the innkeeper 2 denarii. That's all he had in his pocket. You think 2 denarii is a lot of money or little money? 2 denarii is 2 days' wages. And he's probably not a minimum wage earner. He's somewhat well-to-do. 2 days' wages for him today, in today's terms, will be like $500 maybe, 2 days. You can quickly calculate, find out your own income and calculate 2 days' wages. Some of us, I know some of you, maybe $2,000. But that's a lot of money still, 2 days' wages. He gave it all. And he, not even that, he said, spend more if you have to, and I'll come back and pay it back to you. This is the generosity beyond what I can imagine. If you had the money in your pocket, would you give it all? If I were you, I won't. I would give part of it, maybe half of it, maybe even more than half of it. I certainly need some to go on and spend. But not him. His heart was touched, and he gave his all. Does it remind you of somebody who is like this? Well, this is the way God is, right? This is the way God is. He gave us all. He withheld nothing. He gave us all. He gave us his Son, his only Son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. This is the model he wants us to be. Generosity and give all. The second quality, magnanimity. It's hard to pronounce that word, magnanimity. What does it mean? Magna. Magna is what? Big, right? Big, magna. Magnanimity is a big heart. It's a big heart. Think about the situation here of the Samaritan. Samaritan lived in Samaria. Samaria is next door neighbor to Judea. They are right close, next to each other. The way Samaria became a country was this. Around 700 BC, which we're dealing with those time frames, Assyrian king came and conquered the northern kingdom. And he took many slaves, took all the properties away. At the same time, he had an idea. He wanted to control this country for good. So what he did, he sent a bunch of people from his country, a bunch of male, and let them settle in Samaria, in those places, and let them intermarriage, intermingle. And in time, he thought that this will be his property. But little did he know that the Jewish people are very particular, very peculiar people. They want the purity. And today we don't have that idea anymore. You can see many among us are mixed marriages here. And in fact, we feel that's a good idea. But the Jewish people then despise the mixed race. They don't like the Samaritans. They think they are foreign in worship because they worship not in Jerusalem. They worship in the high mountaintops. And they have the Gentile blood in them. So for hundreds of years, they despise them. They don't like them at all. So think about the Samaritan. He came and he saw a Jewish man being beaten up and he saved him. This is what I call magnanimity. Today, we live in a world of great division, don't we? We have some recent election and there's great fighting between parties. And we have also a country of great prejudice, racial prejudice. And even among churches, we have different denominations and different churches. We don't have unity. How did this Samaritan do it? He did it. He has a big heart. He did not care whether this person likes him or not. He did not care whether he was hated or he did not care to hate this person. That was magnanimity. He just went ahead. When he felt God's touch upon his heart and said, here's a man, help him. He just went ahead and gave his help. That's magnanimity. That's the Samaritan way. The third quality is the sincerity. Sincerity, by this I mean, when he got there and he saw this man, he didn't shy away. He felt compassion immediately. And he saw the need. He saw the urgent need, life and death situation. And he didn't care whether his other business, he can wait, whether he'll be late for something. He took care of that. Well, you know, when you and I do things, especially those of us in the church management team, when the need comes upon us, we will have meetings. We will pray about it. And we will discuss and share. Should we do it or should we not do it? By the time we make a decision, the need may be gone. The problem was solved by somebody else. You know, this is the truth about Christian ministry. When God impresses upon our heart a certain need, it was the time when God already felt the need himself, when God already is at work. And he wants you to be a part of this work. He wants to invite you. It's God's invitation for you. Have you ever felt such an invitation in your life? If you felt the invitation and said, I need to pray about it for a week, or you say, I want to send an email to my other brother here and see if he agrees with me and we can do it together. By the time you do that, it's too late. It's too late already. Sincerity means you're touched and you respond. You don't shy away. You don't care whether you are fully able to do it. You will trust God. You trust God to supply all of your need. Like the money, this Samaritan will... God will supply him. He will give all he has But God will supply him. When he comes back, he'll have more money to give to the innkeeper. And he will do that for you. You say, I don't have many abilities. I can only do a few things. When God calls you to do something, don't tell God, I can't do it. God will enable you. God will supply all of your need. He's all sufficient. And you'll be surprised. He is able to fulfill all your needs in his time, in his way. So these three qualities that we learn from the Samaritan, these are the very things God wants us to have. To be generous, to be big-hearted, and to be sincere, responding to God. Let me conclude today. The final quarter of our year, we have 2019 coming up with a new theme. It has been published already, but right now we still have to deal with this theme of today. These are the two questions that we that we ask. Our responsibility socially, the question was asked in the New Old Testament by Cain. He said, am I my brother's keeper? The New Testament question was asked by the Pharisees, by the learned lawyers. He said, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? You know something about these two questions? They were both asked by men to God. And they were not asked as a matter of sincere curiosity or really want to know. They were asked with hidden agenda. They were asked to justify themselves. They were asked to test the Lord Jesus. And what was the Lord's response? The Lord responded in a way, grace and mercy. He reminded them of the error of their ways. And he pointed to them this parable, pointed to them his desire for them to grow, to be mature, to be wonderful Christians. This is what the Lord wants them to be, to have the heart of generous heart, a heart that will give and give, heaping upon heaping, just like God himself gave to us. He wants them to have magnanimous heart. He wants them to not care for social barriers, not care for nationality, prejudice, race. He wants them even to love our enemies. He didn't care if people hate them and prejudice against them. He wants us to have that big heart. And he wants us to be sincere. Sincere. Respond to him. When he calls, respond. Because he will supply everything that you need. He is not poor. God is not poor. God is not limited. You and I are. We are poor. But God is not poor. And when you are willing to serve God, he will make you rich beyond your measure, beyond your imagination. This is all I have to say today. Let's bow with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that today we can give Cain the answer that we are our brother's keeper. It is your desire that we love our neighbor. It is your command that we reach the community with the gospel. Help us today to do away with jealousy, pride, and the slowness of heart, and let God's fresh grace, fresh spirit fill our hearts. Help us to experience you each day. And as you invite us to do your work, help us to obey and trust in you in all sufficient grace and power to move on. We agree with you that we know who our neighbors are, and we are our brother's keepers. Thank you for your reminder to be a good Samaritan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.